Imperva was founded about 14 years ago with one mission in life, and that's to protect what matters most. And what matters most in a digital world is data. That's what has value to enterprises. That's what is actually of value to the cyber criminals that are out there. And when we take a look at what Imperva does is we help protect against the ways that cyber criminals make money with data. One way that they make money is they DDoS the apps that sit in front of that data using extortion attacks, as we just talked about. Right. You know, another approach is they'll exploit weaknesses in apps and use those weaknesses to go directly at the data behind those apps. Or they'll compromise an insider, or maybe the cyber criminal actually is an insider and they'll go directly at the data stores. That's in essence what Imperva does.
Morgan,
we don't do that. That's what we protect against.
Right. I was about to say, wait a minute. You don't. Yeah. That's not what you do. That's what you stop from being done. But let's talk a little bit about that, because this idea of insider threat, it is such a nebulous term and it's such a charged term, because at its basis, it means there's someone who you trust who you shouldn't be trusting. And that is a nightmare scenario for any administrator, not just for an IT person. But Imperva specifically has been looking at whether or not the security tools that we use right now can be used to also detect threats from within a network. Most of those suites are used to detect threats from without. When I'm being attacked, when someone is DDoSing me, how do I mitigate it? When someone is trying to breach my authentication protocols, what processes are they using? Where are they coming from? Those are the sorts of metrics that my security tools will keep. What did Imperva find about using those tools against threats from within?
It's a great question. So ultimately, and you're right, insider can be a nebulous term. And in some cases, there's the nightmare scenario, which is it's actually a malicious insider. So somebody who's trusted, who's been given trusted access. And for all intents and purposes, all of our employees are trusted. As you were talking about earlier, if we didn't trust them, we wouldn't hire them. If we don't trust them with our assets, they can't do their job. So everybody's trusted. So like you said, there's the nightmare scenario, which is the malicious insider. But there's also the problem that cyber criminals have become so sophisticated in the ways that they are able to compromise our employees, that once an employee is compromised, and it could be because their credentials get compromised through a phishing attack, or they in some way, shape, or form get infected by malware or something like that. In that case, the attacker has, for all intents and purposes, assumed the persona of that insider and has the same rights and privileges of the insider as well. So when we look at the threat from within, we actually look across both of those. And, you know, our belief is, in the end, breaches are found at the intersection of users and data. If you think about it, to get to data, in one way, shape, or form, an attacker is going to have to take on the persona of a user that has access to that data. But you need to be able to look not only at what the user is doing, but also what that user is accessing to ferret out the acts that are dangerous or malicious from just an employee going through the everyday course of their jobs and their activities. So when we look at it from that perspective, you know, first and foremost, to protect against that, you need to know where the data is and who has access to it. And that in and of itself can be a big problem when you think about just the sheer vast number of databases, file servers, and new data store technologies that are out there, not just in production, but also when you start thinking about dev and test systems that may have had sensitive data that's valuable to hackers copied into it, or analytical systems or any of the other systems out there that may wind up housing sensitive data. Just having certainty around where it is and how much of it is sensitive is in and of itself a very significant problem. Once that's understood, then there's the task of actually monitoring who has access to it, who's accessing it on a day in and day out basis. And even a relatively moderately sized organization, if you think about the number of employees versus the times the number of times they access data on a day in and day out basis. Even once you have that visibility, you know, the amount of data that gets collected just on who's accessing what is monumental. So the real challenge then is to sift through that to identify the incidents within that where in some way, shape, or form, trust is being violated or trust is being abused. And of course, there's the last thing, which is once those things are identified, you know, there's the need to quickly remediate, which generally means taking some sort of action to put a user into quarantine or block access to certain sensitive database types or data records or applications or whatever it may be while an investigation is ongoing to make sure that nothing untoward is happening.